by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. Sing it again now. It's by faith with all your heart that I believe. It's by faith God today. Praise His holy name. It's on purple Bibles, Revelation chapter 5. I said earlier, it's good to have each one here. Brother Pena, it's good to have you with us. Nice to meet you all and your daughter here. God bless you all. I'm assuming your late brother Alfonso was here last week.
My son?
That's what I thought. I'm going
to try to make up. That's
all right. That's all right. You know, and Lord knows all things, and it's nice to meet y'all, and you'll feel at home here in the house of the Lord. And of course, we're, you know, the kind of guests. You ain't all guests, you know, back there. Same with you all up here and all. You ain't guests no more. Y'all know how things go around here. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord and have one purpose and one goal. You know, we're here to serve the Lord Jesus. We're here knowing what the message told us to get out of here. This world's falling apart. It's time to go in a rapture. So, Lord's helped me, but had my son pray for me after Wednesday. Man, I couldn't hardly, Thursday was okay, but Friday I couldn't hardly even talk. Just lost my voice trying to yell at students like I normally do, and couldn't do that. School teaching there, you know, and then, you know, had Dawson pray for me yesterday. Buddy, you got to help me. I got to be able to preach. Isn't that right? I got a pretty good voice today, so. I can tell why the devil don't want us to hear this, but I got to hopefully speak to you today. Revelation chapter 5. We're still speaking on the absolute. Let's just read this chapter. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. And then just one verse, John 14:6, y'all know this. Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. I'd like to preach today the way back to our redemption. The way back. Let me say it like this. The only way back to our redemption. Okay. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there a need in your heart? Say, Lord, you know what's behind my hand, and I lift it, Lord. And I know that the Word is what can give me my need today, and I believe it. Let's pray now. Pray your own way. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us together. We come into your house with a heart of thanksgiving and mouths full of praise for how much you've done for us, Lord. How you take care of us day in and day out, Lord. And you're just such a good God to us, even in the midst of our mistakes and our sins and our failings. Lord, there's always grace there for us. And you reach out and you pick us back up again and give us strength to fight another day. We pray that this service, Lord, the Holy Ghost have preeminence to just comb through all of our lives and to show us what we need to do and what we shouldn't be doing and how to serve you the right way. Give revelation to every soul that came here today. May the devil be thwarted in all his tactics. I pray for the needs on the people's hearts, that you'd fulfill each one of them, Lord, that you'd speak to each one of them, and they'd go knowing that we heard from God today. I give you my voice, Lord. Use it for your glory. Open up all of our hearts, Lord, and may we receive the engrafted word into our souls. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. What was here before? Did y'all move something? I got to watch these trustees. I mean, they've since Brother Dan got on board, things just move and change. It was a speaker was there. That's what it was. I said, a set thing. That's all right. I'll get Dad for that one. But you see, a carpet goes here, and then we got a nice valance thing up there, or valance, whatever you say that. But it's all the top piece there, that V word for that. But, no, I appreciate what they do. I'm glad I don't got to think about it. That's the main thing, you know. When we first started the church, it was difficult. I had a lot to think about, a lot to take care of, and even paying attention to all the finances, and we're going to have enough money for this and that. I'm just glad I got trustees now to take care of those things. And even Sunday school, appreciate Sister Violet and what she does with them kids in there. That's right. Even if she got to yell at them sometimes, it's all right. I appreciate that's part of the job. It really is. That's why you got to get a seasoned woman in there that can handle it. But anyways, as we approach the Word now, let's just open up our hearts to the Lord as we read here. In Revelation 5, and this is really what I want to bring today, is there's a reason God sent us this message. There's a reason that the seals were opened. These aren't just little doctrines that we just hold in our mind and we think, well, it's mighty nice that I know this. You know, I can go show up my Baptist friends. I can show the Pentecostals where they got it all messed up. And I can run around with a big puffed up head and say, look at me, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It came for a deeper reason than that, brother, sister. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. There's a reason God showed us these things. And it's a very important reason. That's the hardest thing to get people to understand, is that this was a significant event that had it not happened, there would be no rapture of the church. Had God not sent Elijah the prophet, there'd be a curse still on this earth because there'd be no faith to come back. Oh, you hope you're praying for my voice, because if I get preaching too much, I ain't going to be able to handle this. But hallelujah. Here in Revelation 5, we see that the book was sealed. It was sealed with seven seals, and we're very familiar with this. And the angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the seals? So obviously this angel thought it was important that these seals got opened. And I don't care what preacher says, it's not important. What preacher comes around and says, oh, those seals are just too deep, just leave it alone, you just confuse people. The angel said, we need somebody to open this.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And look how desperate they were in third. It says, no man in heaven, no man in earth. And then they got real desperate, Brother Dan, and said, is he stuck in hell somewhere? Where is this man that can loose the seals? So what was it? Was it just some fancy doctrines? Was it just so we could say we're the only people that understand the book of Revelation? Isn't that great? And I'm so glad that gave me rapture and faith. And that's where we start looking like a cult. Hallelujah. Because then you start teaching people, well, you need to understand this and understand this and understand this. And then once you understand this, then maybe if you understand this and you women quit cutting your hair and you get dresses on and do these things and kick TV out and get real holy and come to church, then maybe, just maybe, you got a slight chance. God might just sneak the Holy Ghost in your life. And yeah, and I don't blame people saying you're a bunch of crazies. I don't got a problem with people saying that's a cult, because it is. That's right. The only difference between a cult and a denomination and just a religious group is one's got the truth and one don't. Look, you go look up the definition of cult, you'll find yourself. They're going to think you're a cult because it's a little group of people that have beliefs that the majority don't have. And amen, that's me. But the difference is, does God back it up? And if God's behind it, then I don't care if there's only two of us left. There's only one. Stay the course. Stay on the word, Daniel. I don't care if they're going to throw you in the lion's den. I'd rather go in a lion's den than recognize that I've went over my conscience before God and bow down to some idol.
Amen.
Hey, man, they got real desperate looking for a man to open this book. And when John determined that they couldn't find it, John the Beloved, the one who had laid his head on Jesus, the one that could write, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved.
Amen.
Think of the faith of that man. But he said, it's over. It's over. We really have believed in vain because the book is still sealed. Our redemption lays beyond the reach of a mortal, and that's all we are. You can't make yourself an angel. Some people want to be angels. Never tempted, never, you know, don't have any bad thoughts, just live in the presence of God all the time, no warfare. Come on now. I'm just a mighty power. Well, no, God made you a man. That's right. We're down here to be tempted and tried. Amen. Said Jesus was made a little bit lower than the angels. Why? So he could be tempted.
Sure.
Now the difference between him and us is we give over temptation and that becomes sin. Jesus didn't.
Right.
Not at one point. Which leads us to right here. He said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book, neither to look thereon. But then one of the elders had something to say about it. He said, John, stop weeping. Because you looked everywhere but where you needed to. You looked all through heaven. You tried to find an angel. He wasn't there. You tried to find a prophet on the earth. He wasn't there. You tried to find somebody under the earth. He wasn't there. Where was this redemption? It was already in the throne. It was the same man that had proclaimed it. He said, we need somebody to open the seals. The same one holding it became flesh. It says, read it. He came out of the throne. In the midst of the throne came forth a lamb that had been slain. So let me make sure you understand this. The blood was already spilled.
Yes.
Christ had died.
Yes.
And yet we're still lost. Oh my. That's why I'm bringing it right home right now. I'm telling you, the seals were open for a reason.
Yes.
The atonement was made.
Right.
All sin was paid for.
Yes.
Every sickness was healed.
Yes.
Every lost soul saved.
Amen.
But yet we're still in a stuck condition. Why? It's because even though the atonement was made, without the revelation, we don't know how to apply the atonement to us. Without the revelation, the atonement saves the spiritual brother. The atonement saves my pastor. The atonement saves this church, but it don't save me.
Come on!
But revelation strikes an individual, and they find that the book was opened. And behind those seals, what do they find? They find their name in there. And once they can find their name, then they've got a path back to redemption. They've got a way to believe that they're forgiven. They've got a way to believe I'm justified. I never did it in the first place. Why? Because before I became on this earth and I became Andrew Crustle, before that I had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which was Mrs. Jesus Christ. I was already married and there was nothing the devil could do about it. And that's the only thing that can give a believer enough faith to actually take that atonement and apply it to themselves and say that It is for me. He's saying, you, but you look what you've done. You're a murderer. You're an adulterer. You're a thief. Oh, by God, you got divorced. It's over. You did this big mortal sin. There's one mortal sin. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's the sin of saying, we don't need these seals. Listen now. We don't need what God said we did and push it back. That's why those are those that are blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I give a man that falls in sin back and forth, up and down, he's got a chance. He's got a chance to believe. But a man who takes the one thing, the one way back, and says, I don't need it, it's over. Why? It's just be like, you know, there's only one way out of this building. It's that door. You know, that one ain't going to open. But anyways, if that's the only way. And if you say, well, I don't want to go through that door, well, then you're stuck.
Right.
It's not because there aren't any nice doors in the world. It's not because there ain't any inspired people in other places. It's that you're here now. And we found ourselves in a muck of sin. We found ourselves trapped with the world. And we needed something to get us out.
Yeah.
And it was laying in that book the whole time. The atonement. This is what I want to get to so hard. The atonement has no power to the individual unless they have a revelation of what it is. And I can show you that in the Bible. Let's go. John chapter 12, 39. Hallelujah. John chapter 12, 39. Actually, let's start at 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Unto whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Many of us think, well, my, if I could just see somebody raised from the dead, then I wouldn't have any doubts anymore. If I could just see somebody healed, I wouldn't have any doubts anymore. If I could just see tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, and get, then I would know that this is right. Yet here's a group of people right there in front of the Messiah himself. Many signs and wonders done to where they know. There was even a time where the Pharisees said, we got to throw our hands up. We can't deny this one. We watched Lazarus die. We waited. We got the reports that, look, the devil's still dumb. He went and gets evidence for you if you just let him. He went and got the death certificate. Look, this is supposed to be Jesus' friend, and look how he treats his friends. He just lets them die. So they went and they got the doctor to sign the statement. They got the physicians to get over there, not knowing that the whole time he was trapping himself right into the plan of God, that Jesus showed up 4 days after he was dead, called him forth out of the grave. And look how possessed these people were, because they had rejected the atonement. They had rejected the revelation of who this man was. Amen. They believed a Messiah. They believed in the blood. Come on now. But the revelation was standing there of who this man was. It was the Word made flesh. Revelation isn't in your head. It lives. God-given revelation becomes flesh. That's right. You could say it all day. You can think it all day. But if it's real revelation, it takes place in the soul and it pushes out Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here he was, Jesus. Could you imagine the frustration? Could you imagine? That's why he had done so many things for them to believe. They still died. In Israel, Moses had come, done 10 mighty things that they all couldn't deny. They knew it was God, and when it was all over, he still opened the Red Sea for them.
Right.
And when they got complaining, he still poured out manna from heaven. And when they got thirsty, he still brought a gusher out of a rock.
Amen.
And they still found room to complain about it. So is it that God does miracles, or that you have a revelation of who God is? This is where we're bringing it home now. These people here, they had no revelation who this man was, though he was standing there, though he was manifested, though every sign that the Bible said would come was there. Brother, sister, don't get spiritually dumb. It's happened again in our day. God has sent us a prophet, done the exact same thing, sign after sign after sign. But what was the problem? They didn't like the prophecy that came forth. I've been there firsthand. People said, I want prophecy. I want gifts. No, you don't. Not if you're living in sin, because then it calls it out.
Amen.
And it says, oh, I want a prophecy that says that everyone else is going to die. What kind of Christian are you? I want one that says, if I'm wrong, correct me, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I want one that if a brother's backsliding, I want something to get him back on the road.
Sure.
Hallelujah. I want something for the kingdom.
I'm
just going to have to say it. Hallelujah. I've been to a church one time. One of the most anointed services I've ever sat in my life. The pastor didn't appreciate it too well. Then the service, Holy Spirit got a hold of me and prophesied about that if you don't receive this, you're gonna fall away. Something along those lines. And then they're always preaching, we need the gifts. Well, there they are. Why'd they turn that down? Because they didn't like what it had to say. If it was God, it would have came through this way. And they'll still say they believe the message, but brother, sister, you understand if you have that spirit now, you'd have had it then. You say, oh, Brother Bram, you know, I believe, but no, not really. It would have been this man. It would have been Oral Roberts. It would have been somebody a little cleaned up, a little bit more like Billy Graham or somebody else that actually knew what they were talking about, could say the Greek the right way. Because I forget, if you ever hear Laodicea anywhere else, they'll say it some other way, and I can't remember, Laodicean or something. We're all used to saying Laodicean because that's the way Brother Bram said it. Yeah. Brother Bram said, Joshua. That's right. I'm okay with that, and that's the way I say it anymore, Joshua. Sometimes I'll say Joshua fast, but you know why? Because God sent me this voice.
Yes.
And sure, those are just little mannerisms. That doesn't really matter. What matters at the end of the day is that there was a revelation behind this. God sent vindication to show us He was doing something that needed to happen, and it was sitting right here in Revelations 5. You show me another church outside of this message even talks about the seven seals. Here is John, the prophet of his day, saying if those seals don't open, we're lost. It's over. We've done this all. I've sold my life away. I'm here on the Isle of Patmos for no reason. So I'm going to hell just like anyone else. But praise God, the revelation came. The Lamb stepped out of the throne already bloody. The atonement had to be made. Don't let me get that. Don't let me make you an agnostic or whatever, where you just believe in your head. The blood had to be spilled. That atonement was made, but until the Lamb stepped forth and used that blood to grab the book as a mortal, God the Spirit had it, but we needed God the mortal to grab it. And He took it out, bleeding bloody. Why? Because of our sins. And He loosed the seals. Hallelujah. And then John began to write it down. You read through, he wrote them down. Now look, even John himself, he didn't know what he was writing about. He just started writing. He said, I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw a white horse rider, and I saw this, and I saw these two witnesses. Then all of a sudden, gets to Revelations 10. And John's sitting there just spinning his head. What does all this mean? What does all this mean? Then a mighty angel comes down. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same one that was there. I said, a mighty angel spoke with a mighty voice. But either way, it doesn't matter. It was still God speaking anyhow. Came down and put his foot on the land. You all know Revelation 10. And on the sea, and proclaimed with a loud voice that time is no longer. That the revelation is here.
Yeah.
And what did John say? I heard. Wait, we got to turn there.
Oh, yes.
Just getting inspiration now. I didn't think I'd go this way this fast. Let's go to Revelations 10. And we'll just skip to verse 4 or 3 to read it all. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Brother, sister, that happened. Some people think we're waiting on that. That happened right there in 1963 when the angel of the Lord came down in a cloud. Jesus Christ expressed Himself again here on earth and put His face in a cloud. See, people think that this didn't happen. It did. What we're about to read is history. Oh, glory to God. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, his feet pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, glory to God. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice. It's when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, brother, sister, it hit John. That's what these seals are about. I get it now. And right when he went to write, something stopped him. Hallelujah. And I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders under, and write them not. Now look, this really takes revelation. Here are the seven sealed book sitting in the right hand. Here goes through this whole process, John, in big emotional time. You know, it wasn't just weeping either. We read the rest of it. They had a good time after that. Hallelujah. And I began to realize that some people don't got this revelation, because if you did, I'm sorry, you can't just sit there and stare at me.
Right.
That was good, brother. Oh, sister, it does something to you. Hallelujah. When you really got a revelation that before you made a mess of your life, somebody made sure the mess would never get in your life, but made sure a message would. Amen. It gets you a little excited. Hallelujah. To where John said, everybody heard me talking about this. He said, seal up those things. So Christ comes, takes the book, He opens it. They hear it go forth. John writes them down. Then when the revelation comes, he's told to seal it up again. The revelation was in the first age, but God had to seal it because He knew what He'd do in the last age. Why do you think there's not another book after Revelation? Because it was already there. Hallelujah. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. He said, we've got a revelation of Christ in the church. We know what this is all about. But right now it's a little darkly, but then it'll be face to face. It'll be so plain a child can't mess it up. And just to let you know, my son, he's 4 years old. And we were talking about Jesus dying on the cross. And I said, buddy, you know, he actually came to me. He says, so when Jesus died on the cross, we were in him then. I said, that's right, buddy. He said, see, that's why. So what did Jesus do? I said, he said he raised again. I said, amen. So if he raised again, he said, we raise again. Amen. Not even a child of error there. And if you'll just keep it right. If you just stick with what the voice said and don't add your own things to it. Say what the voice said. Hallelujah. I was about to write, seal up those things which the seventh under is uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. And I swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are. And the earth and the things that therein are. And the sea and the things which are therein. That there should be time no longer. No more delaying. No more waiting. It's here.
Amen.
But, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you see why Brother Branham had to emphasize this verse. Because without this, we all go, what was God doing? This makes no sense. You open the seals, you shout the thunders, John hears them, he goes to write them down, you tell him not to. Why'd you do it then? But, I'll just read, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. What the mystery, what these seals were, who God is.
Amen.
Not just Jesus, but still Jesus. Oh, glory to God. And he even tells you how he's going to do it, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. I've met too many souls that get so hung up on prophets. And it just so grieves me. And we were talking this morning a little bit, but you go to you'll find people that go to denominations and try this church, that church, and at the end of the day said, there ain't nothing to all that. Where's life? Where's the real gospel? So they come to the message and they see things like, oh, this is good. You know, this is what I thought. Then you say, well, God sent a prophet, and that's why we have this. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know about this. Why? Because there's a stigma around that word, but here you are, supposed to believe this book. And you're at the last chapter, or last book of it, towards the end, and here's telling you that the seventh angel is a prophet. And then remember the angel? I'm just inspiration today. Praise the Lord. Let me see if I can find it. That's the one where he has the testimony of Jesus. Where's the other one? John tries to worship the angel that talked to him. And he tries to do it twice. And the first time he says, don't do it. He says, I'm of your brethren, and I'm those that have the testimony of Jesus. And I'm trying to find the other time. Fellow servant, he, hallelujah. Maybe not, but the other time, what does he say? He says, I'm of your fellow servants, the prophets. Man, I wish I could find that. If you all find it, you know, I'm humble enough to say amen. That's where it is. Oh, there we go. I just got turned. No, that ain't it. I was close. Hallelujah. There it is. It's Revelations 22:8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets. Oh yeah, I believe the Bible, really? Oh, it was a mighty angel talked to John. Yeah, you're right, it was. But the Bible said it was a prophet.
Amen.
Said it was a man. Hallelujah. See, people think that the message has changed the word. But if you'll just actually believe what he said and start looking in the scriptures, you can't find another interpretation. You can't find me another one that will tell you that the only voice in this day God would use is Malachi 4 and tie that into Revelations 10:7. And why does that even make sense? Because the only way for the earth to not be under a curse is for the children of God to recognize who they are. And the only way for them to recognize who they are, they had to know who Christ was. Because once they found out who Christ was, they found out that they were in him.
Amen.
The whole time we thought we were here. We thought when we believed oneness even. You know, there's Jesus, he's all God, but we're still down here. Then the message has come and says, no. No, where did Eve come from?
Amen.
Go back to Genesis. She was in Adam.
Yes,
and before she was named Eve, she had a name. It was Adam. You couldn't tell them apart. They had the same characteristic, the same manifestations. What hinders the children of God then is one word, revelation. Brother Branham says this in the Church Age book. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. Let me make sure you understand, revelation isn't a creation. The seals didn't just pop up in this day. The bride didn't just become the Word all of a sudden. It unveiled what we were the whole time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. The uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Christ, but it is the revelation of His future works in the oncoming seven church ages.
Amen.
And most people think, well, that's just still Jesus. Is it? I'm trying to make this plain, but without revelation, you're going to misinterpret what I'm saying. Jesus, the flesh, is still interceding. Jesus, he's still up there waiting to come back. He's not physically returned yet. Because if He did, I wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
I'd be gone. I'd be physically resurrected. But the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was in Him, has now come into the bride and quickened the life that was in you, which was actually a seed of God the whole time.
Amen.
You were always a part of Him.
Amen.
And now the quickening has come and brought forth Jesus again in every age.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's why after the seals were opened, we didn't just see Him back to Pentecost. We saw Christ all the way back to Eden.
Amen.
It was Christ in Moses. It was Christ in Noah. It was Christ in David. That seed was in every one of those believers.
Amen.
Glory to God. But before the atonement was made, they were total. I mean, that revelation was way over there, and they were stuck here. Why? There was no bridge made for their sins. They couldn't differentiate themselves from the world. David, a man after God's own heart, finds himself a murderer. An adulterer.
Amen.
An illegitimate child.
Yeah, right.
A man that the Bible said was after his own heart. And look at the condition he's in. Here's Moses, a mighty man of God. The Bible said he was the meekest on all the earth. Here he's getting mad. Said, you bunch of rebels!
Yeah.
And smiting a rock. Said, well, I guess if God ain't going to do it, I'll do it. And he smited it again.
Yeah.
Think they were proud of themselves. It's what kept them from having the peace that we have in this day. Because they always had to go back and look at themselves. Say, what a wretch I am. Oh, you're making atonement, and the next day you broke it. Some of us think that Christ is still dying over and over again for our sins. He paid for it once. The atonement was paid for, but the revelation was hidden from the church. Christ came, He gave the revelation to the first church. They had it. They walked out, and they weren't afraid of nothing. That's right. Paul went wherever he was told by the Spirit. Amen. But then every age, the devil began to take away the revelation. God knew it would happen, so He said, but in that seventh age, with that seventh angel, I will bring it back.
Amen.
And not only will the mystery be for 4,000 years as Paul had it, it'll be for all 6,000 years.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let me finish this. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. That's a powerful statement. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is important and tremendously important to the church. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. You got to be able to hear from God yourself. You got to know how God speaks to you and actually get revelation to where God backs it up.
Amen.
Not just a bunch of information, not just a bunch of thoughts or feelings or impressions. That's where we get off on tangents. But something that roots right into the Word of God, and then it manifests what God said it would.
Amen.
Amen. That's revelation. Because you can have the Word all day long. Without the Spirit, you die. And the Bible's already declared that. You get some people, that's why I'm saying it's so hard sometimes, people without revelation to say, but they're preaching the blood of Jesus. Why don't they get the results? They say they believe it. Why don't they get the, but you don't recognize they rejected the revelation of the blood when they turned down this prophet.
Yes. Right.
There's no way back unless you come to the way God told you to.
Amen.
Let me finish that. Or I'm actually going to skip down a little bit. He says, how did Abel know what to do in order to offer a proper sacrifice to God? By faith, he received the revelation of the blood. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment. Even though he had, Brother Branham said, Even though he had the word says, yet he had no revelation of how to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. They both heard the same story. I know we think Adam and Eve might have snuck something in. They said it was fruit to them, boys. Or else how did Cain come up with that revelation? How did he? Because he only had information. So you can go, the carnal mind would do what Cain did. So what was told physically is what Cain would have done. It's a perfect outlet. So you know that they were told it was fruit in the garden.
That's right.
Because spirit or typing, it is. That's right. Don't go wrong. It was a type of spiritual fruit, natural fruit. Absolutely. But Cain or Abel actually got a revelation from God about what really happened there.
Amen.
And what it would really take to get back. He knew that, okay, if that's what happened, we contaminated the blood of God that he's given to us, then blood's going to be the only way back.
Right.
Cain thought they just ate the wrong fruit. So he said, well, I'll give fruit back.
Right.
Without a revelation, he perished.
Right.
Revelation, you see how important it is now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's the same in Jesus' day. They tried. They came to Jesus and tried to use the scriptures. They had all the information in the world. He said, we know where Moses came from, but whence cometh this man? We know that the prophet's supposed to come from Bethlehem, but you came from Nazareth. See, they had the word, but it was all jumbled up because they didn't have revelation. And if they had a revelation, they would have went and asked some people and found out the true facts. They would have said, oh, wait, he was from Bethlehem. Glory to God. Oh, wait, he was from Nazareth. Oh, wait, that is the scriptures. Oh, yeah, a virgin's supposed to conceive. We forgot all about that, you know. Only the Messiah knows how to apply the word because he wrote it.
Amen.
All right, let me finish that. Excuse me. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment. So he couldn't offer the right sacrifice. It was a revelation from God that made the difference and gave Abel eternal life.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
This might be a little bit more important than we think. Now, you might take what the pastor says or what the seminary teaches, and though it might be taught to you with eloquence, until God reveals to you that Jesus is the Christ, and that it is the blood that cleanses you, and that God is your Savior, you will never have eternal life. It is the spiritual revelation that does it.
Hmm.
I think that gives us, that behooves us to maybe not ignore the things that God has given us. I think we'd be totally embarrassed if God came and revealed how much time we spend reading other things.
That's right.
How much time we spend watching other things. How much time we think about other things. And here's God opening the book to us, showing us things that prophets and kings would have loved to see. The peace that they could have had. But we just, you know, it's a light thing to us. Why? Because why do you think we're still here 50 years after it happened? Because
right.
It's by faith. Or you ain't got it.
That's right.
Turn to John 3. I figured we'd somber up a little bit here in the middle, but John chapter 3. You're hearing from the Lord today.
Amen.
Everybody will go John 3:16, but they just stop there. How about we read everything Jesus had to say about this? And I'll start at 16. Let me take a drink real quick. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, it's not just believing that the blood was shed, it's believing on whose blood was really shed. Amen. And look how much it talks. It doesn't talk about anything physical happened, because Jesus had already knew he was going to provide the atonement that wouldn't, everyone should be redeemed. Do you understand? The Bible specifically says he died for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. There was an atonement made for Cain. There was an atonement made for Balaam. But because they had turned down the word, they had turned down the man that could redeem them. They had turned down the book that could have been handed to them. Look, the Bible says that they without us cannot be made perfect. Do you understand that this revelation will go to all ages because of the bride of Christ in this day? What a privileged people we are to be at this end time. Quit looking at Laodicea. Quit living in the dumps of what this world is offering us, which is nothing, and realize what God has given to you. To be the one to be translated. To be the one that said, I was an overcomer of Laodicea. Not a testimony that lasts a week, some that I can have for eternity.
Amen.
Not because we're any better. You know what we're going to tell Moses? How'd you do it? How'd Moses come and say, how'd you do it? Said, it was the grace of God.
Amen.
And we'll all still throw our crowns on the ground and say, let's worship Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he talks about we need to believe. And then right in verse 19, and this is the condemnation. This is what keeps people out of the kingdom. That light has come into the world. Revelation has come. Truth has come. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why I was talking about that church. I don't care. You can testify all day how much you believe the message and everything else. If you ain't willing to be corrected by the word, you're living a lie. You're rejecting light. And you're condemned. You need to accept the light when it comes. Because verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Oh, I love it. You ain't got to force it on him. He'll come to the light. Why? Because he doesn't want to live. He doesn't want to displease his Lord. Because it's not his Lord anymore. It's not her Lord anymore. It's her husband.
Amen.
It's her lover. It's the one that she cares most about. That every breath she has is to him. You don't have to force me to come to it. I want it. Everybody wants all the blessings but won't take the cuttings. You can't be your husband without being your Lord first. Glory to God. Esther knew King Ahasuerus as the king. One day, she knew her as her husband.
Amen.
And had such a faith that when everyone else was scared to death, thought they were all going to die, she said, step out of the way. I'm going to come unannounced. I'm going to go in the moment, a twinkling of an eye. If I perish, I perish, but I'm not leaving the Lord because I'm too in love with Him. He that doeth the truth cometh to light, that his deeds might be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. Brother, if you find yourself backslid, and I'm talking to a believer now. I ain't talking to a bunch of the sinners condemned that I was talking about earlier. I'm talking to believers. There's only one way back to you. It's to repent. Not to repent of, oh, I did this, I did this. It's to repent of your unbelief. Because you wouldn't have done those things if you just would have stayed on the Word. That's right. If you would have really believed that that pretty woman over there was a demon, you wouldn't have looked at her twice. See, you gave over. Do you understand why this is so important? We all can say, oh, I've committed adultery. We say, no, I haven't. Well, you've looked at a woman twice. You did.
Yeah.
Said, I've never murdered anybody. Really? You talk bad about a person one time? You did. You're a murderer. Okay, so just forget it. Jesus magnified the law. You can't do it. You're a sinner. Glory to God. Get that revelation. Put it in a bag. Say, yes, that was for me. And then recognize that now that I've recognized what I was in this world, I can put no value in it, and I can do what I need to, and that's to throw it in the fire of God and say, burn it. Lord, speak through me. Just like Isaiah, let the torch touch my lips. I got nothing good to say. I'm a man of unclean lips. But if I can just let Christ in, then I'll just believe all that. I'll believe everything that He is, I am. And that'll keep you from doing those things wrong. You give me somebody that's really in love with, or husband and wife that's really in love, they'll stay faithful. If you get those that are supposed to be faithful, that'll crumble. They don't really care about each other. Oh yeah, they might go through the structure of it for years and years and years. But we know, especially here in Laodicea, we're finding out people married 25, 30, 45 years getting divorced. And it doesn't make any sense, but now you see why. They had nothing to it in the first place. It was just a big fat lie. That's right. I'd rather have a real enemy than a fake friend. That's the truth. I'd rather know. That's why this age is the hardest age. Because everything's mixed together. It's all this. It's all gray now. Until the Spirit comes. He'll pull it back apart and show you it's all black and white. It's the devil's done made everything gray. Hallelujah. Just like David, you know, he could have looked right at Goliath and realized his enemy. That was pretty easy at that time. But when it came down to his fighting his own enemy, you realize how hard this was going to be. We should have recognized the same thing. But what's the revelation, brothers? Is that greater? It's He. That's in me. The one that was always in me. Greater is Christ in my life than the sins that I've committed. Than my flesh. Don't exalt your flesh anymore. Go ahead and stop doing that and start exalting God.
and say, God, your blood's good enough for me. This revelation was good enough for me. The way you said it, I don't care if it confused the whole world. It was good enough for me because I believe it. So repent of your backslidings and come back to God. I think I took a picture of what I wanted to. I couldn't get it on here in time. Listen to this. But you know, God, it's coming out of Y, 1963. I actually got a picture on my phone. But that's all right. God has the medicine inside of His kingdom that will cure every sin disease that there is in the world. And people sit right on the church doorsteps. Not only that, they sit right in the pew and die. And are lost and go to hell because they refuse to accept the doctor's medicine. Amen, that's right. They absolutely refuse to take the doctor's medicine. Therefore, they die with the fevers. And the people sit in church and hear the messages of God and believe them and won't accept it. They wouldn't say, well, now I don't believe that's right. Some of them will come say and agree with it. Say, I believe it's right. But you won't do it. See, you'll die. Dying in the pews of the church because they won't accept the remedy. They won't, see? See what does it? It takes a little bit of the popularity out of the people. It kind of beats them up a little bit. They're afraid of that new birth. They know any birth is a mess. I don't care where what it is. If it's in a pig pen or in a pink decorated hospital, it's a mess. And so is the new birth. It'll make you do things that you wouldn't think you'd do. It'll straighten you up. But before you can ever get right, you have to come through that mess. Amen. That's right. See, before a seed can ever be born, it has to die and rot. And that's what's the matter with people today. They don't want to die and rot to the world so they can be born again of the Holy Ghost. See, that's right. They're afraid of that new birth. They're afraid. It makes them do things that they don't want to do. It takes the popularity out of them. It takes the starch out of them. We need to read that in more message churches. Oh, I tell you, I'm glad that there is an inoculation tonight that'll take it out of you, brother. That'll take the world out. It'll make people brotherhood associate together regardless of denominational differences. It'll make a pair of overalls put an arm around a tuxedo suit and holler, brother, I'm glad to see you. Amen. They're afraid of that inoculation. Now, there's all kinds of different angles you could go with that. There's people that are afraid to say that God can really forgive my sins because they've just done too much wrong. It's just not, I'm just too bad to be saved. I can't handle it. I can't. We've seen people that go through those cycles. They're saved one day, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, because they just go through the good and bad meters. Well, I did a bunch of good this week, so I'm good enough to come to, oh, nope, never mind. Nope, serpent seed, God seed. And it's foolishness. It's a big muck of unbelief. You got to disnounce all that. That's right. Now, there's other people who think that, well, I can believe the Word and just do what I want to do. No. If you believe the Word, you'll become the Word. Amen. That's right. And what we just read there, you're going to get a new birth. You can't stay the same. You can't still love the things of the world. Brother, sister, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to love something and keep the Holy Ghost out of your life. Hopefully you didn't do that today. I guess today's Super Bowl Sunday. I hope you're not too more concerned with that than you are about what's going on now. I hope you're not thinking about it right here in the service. Hallelujah, because it don't matter. Amen. It doesn't. You know what's going to happen the second they're done with the game? Yeah. Who's going to win next year? Yeah. Shows you how long that victory lasted, huh? Yeah. But you know what's going to happen when the bride overcomes? Yeah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's always a way back, brother, sister, if you'll just take God's word, believe with all your heart. Even if you have been born again, too many times we forget. We forgot. God, we turn the revelation down in our own lives and say, well, I still have to love this. No, you don't. The greater is He that's in you. God has come to overcome everything that's come in this world. And that's why the seals were open, to show you that if you're already there and Jesus overcome all things, then you have to too. Hallelujah. I've got some quotes to read I want to finish this out on. Ellie, is my songbook over there? That's where it is. Just give that to me real quick before I forget about it. The whole time I know I'm missing something. All right. I just got through, I'm not quite done with it, but I'm reading Sirs, Is This the End, 1962. Just give you a little context. This is right when before Brother Bram, he had the vision of going out west and He talks about, oh man, it was probably six dreams that had happened, all pointing, go west, go west. I've got some. Why was this so important? Is because of what we read there in Revelation 5. Nobody in the church, Brother Branham included, knew that the seals were really going to be this important until this time. Until all of a sudden he said, wait a minute, there's something going on. He said, he even says, I feel like I'm presuming a little bit. But I'm telling you, something's fixing to happen. Why? God was so concerned with this, he made sure the prophet wouldn't miss it.
Amen.
Oh man, I'm going to teach something that might be a little hard. I'm just going to tell you. Everybody gets on about this brown bear, don't they? Brother Branham said he was supposed to shoot a brown bear and he didn't do it. They don't go through and go listen to any witnesses or what Brother Branham said about it. Brother Branham had the vision. God fulfilled his part of the vision. The brown bear was there. But Brother Branham let his emotions get in the way. And he went with the wrong group of people. He was supposed to go with these group of brothers. And he missed it. Brother Eddie Biscoll said, he came back and said, Brother Branham, we just saw the biggest bear in the world. And you know, he's twice as big as the last one you got. So Brother Branham's face went white. Because he knew he missed it. He said, Brother Eddie Biscoll's testimony he just listened to not too long ago, he said it just rained and poured and everything else the whole trip. And Brother Branham said, I'm the Jonah on this trip. Because I missed it. Why did God allow that? Because sometimes you might wonder why you made a mistake you did. It's to keep you from making a bigger one later. It's to get you to learn a lesson on an easier level than when you would have missed it catastrophically. We can all say amen to that.
Amen.
I've had plenty of times where, brother, sister, let's just be honest with ourselves. You get looking at the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, man, you just get sicker than a dog. And then the Lord come tell you, say, how about you quit doing that, Dad? A lot better than going out and wrecking your family. A lot better than going out and wrecking your own life. God loves us that much. That's real love. Keep you on the word. Keep you on the word. Amen. All right. So he comes to the prophet. And Brother Branham, he's saying this, sirs, I got your attention. I got a few quotes to read here. Sirs, this is the end. Well, I turned again. I thought, Lord God, what does this vision mean? And I wondered. And then it come to me. Not a voice. Just come to me. Oh, that is the angels of the Lord coming to give me my new commission. So that's what he felt in his heart. But then he began to think anymore. And he says, and when I thought that, I raised up my hands. I said, Lord Jesus, what will you have me to do? And the vision left me. For almost an hour, I couldn't field. He said field, but that's all right. I've been there, brother, sister. I don't know if you have, but I've been in that. And he talks about it here. If you go read the whole quote about the real power and presence of God, it's not just blessings and joy. And that, I mean, that's great. That's where you can't even move. You're so afraid. It's not the fear that the devil would give you. It's a reverent fear. It's a fear of knowing this is God. People say, oh, I wish angel visit my house. Let him come one time. You appreciate he's around, but you might say, don't say a lot. You know, just, all right, praise the Lord. I'm glad to know that God's with me, but that's all I want. You know, don't want him getting into my heart too much. You know, we do, but you understand. If he comes by, he puts many, many tickle parson on your wall, say, oh, man, whew, Lord help me. All right, because... You know you're in the presence of God. God, help us to get a revelation of that. When the word is preached, that you're in the same spot. God is so humble, he doesn't always express it to where you just know that you know. But he's still here. He said, if two or three are gathered, he's going to be there. That's right. But here's Brother Branham. He's in that presence. He said he couldn't even feel nothing. He's just numb for hours. He said later, he says, and after the Spirit left him, for about a half hour, I guess, or more, I said, Lord, if this is that I'm going to be killed. And you're finished with me on earth, and I'm going to be taken home now. Which, if that's it, that's fine. That's all right. So I said, if that is, let me know. Send your power back on me again. Then I'll know not to tell the people or anything about it, because you're fixing to come catch me away. And nothing happened. And I waited a while. Then I said, Lord Jesus, if it did not mean that, and it means that you're going to do something for me, or you got something for me to do, and it'll be revealed to me later, then send your power. And it almost took me from the room. God was making sure this prophet knew, look, it's not over yet. Actually, this is the one thing you were born for.
Amen.
Can't miss it now. Later along, towards the end of the sermon, Brother Ram says this. He says, I don't know, sirs. I'm only honest with you as my brothers. I don't know. Is it time? Is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is it really them seven thunders fixing to utter out something? And that little group that is gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go in a rapture when he comes? I think it's a little bit more important than what we put it on. Amen. for we'll be changed as quick as those angels come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we caught up together with those that have slept to meet the Lord in the air. My prayer is, God, if it be so, I don't know. Lord, I was just telling the church, if it is so, Lord, prepare our hearts. Make us ready, Lord, for that great hour. Shortly after this, Brother Branham's going through questions and answers just to show you his desperateness. He says right at the beginning, so sometimes I might have to answer. It might hurt, might scratch. I don't mean to do it that way. I'm answering it with one purpose, as I said, Christ before me. And I got to remember that it's Him that I've got to give an account for. So my first love is to Him. My second love is to you people. And His church, that's His He's purchased with His own blood. And He really loves you more than He loved Himself, because He gave Himself for you. You're the purchase of the blood, and I handle it just as carefully and sincerely as I know how. But then in doing it, sometimes you think that was a very rude remark. It's so blunt and flat. I'm doing it with Him in my mind. To everybody just see that it must be this way. That it must be this way. There we go. It's not anything to hurt or no more than just to make sure that people gets it. And I hope everybody receives it that way. Brother Bram, you find, before he'd be a little apprehensive. A lot of people use those kind of quotes to say that they don't have to believe this, they don't have to believe that. Brother Bram said, you know, if I go to a certain man's pulpit, I'll try not to preach things that would be in his church. You know, I don't want to wreck it to pieces. But brother, sister, he didn't just lay off on the revelation when it came. He said, there's a time, it's here now. When you go and listen to the rapture sermon, there's a time, and I've already said this, I'm going to say it again. There's a time where Brother Bram says, I think the lady in the back wants the room. I know firsthand witnesses that said that she was back there rattling a pan in her hands, that people were knocking forks on their tables, and here's the prophet preaching the rapture. Why? Not to those bunch of unbelievers. God knew it would be put on tape, and that 50 years later, I'd listen to it, and I'd believe it.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. And the prophet couldn't miss that. He had to see it. So when he had the vision, God made sure he went out west, that the angels came down and he got the revelation, came back here, and every day met with that prophet and told us what it meant.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the group of people that has a revelation of that, I'm going to read you a few quotes today. I'm going to finish on this. God's power to transform, 1965. But since the opening of the seven seals of them angels just beyond the mountain yonder, this, I'm going to grab it. This has become a new book. It's all the things that's been hid is being revealed as God promised in Revelations 10 He would do it. And we are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth, that we might see and understand these things, which is not some mythical, fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the Word of God made manifest, proven that it's right. Proven not by science, but by God that it's right. And Brother Branham could have used science to prove himself, but he said that's not the vindication. That God backs this up is the vindication. Amen. That's God. He says, but by God that it's right. God, as I said before in a message, God doesn't need anyone to interpret His word. He is His own interpreter. He says it'll happen, and it happens. Then He confirms it. That interprets it. Glory to God. The seed is not air with the suck, 1965. Did you ever see an eagle compromise? No, sir. There is no compromising in him. Neither does a genuine Christian. He ain't soft. He'll hunt till he finds it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. He'll find his meat. He wants fresh manna. He'll get down there and dig till he finds it. He'll fly higher and higher. If there's none in this valley, he'll raise up a little higher. The higher you go, the more you can see. So it's time for eagles of this day to get to flying higher. Dig into God's promises. Not live on vulture food that's been killed years ago. Get out of it. Politics. People say they don't care about it. Go ask them. Go say Donald Trump around them. Say Carson or whoever else is running, you know. It's not, and it's bad enough that we care about the politics in the world that we had a prophet told us is a bunch of mess anyways.
Right.
He said that 50 years ago when we thought it was halfway together.
Yeah.
What would he have to say about it now?
Right.
You're like, what are you guys even watching it for? Is anybody even watching any of these debates? I got a few minutes in here and there. That's a bunch of nonsense, high school badgering back and forth I've ever seen in my life. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. and these are the people going to run the country? Well, no wonder. Because 40 years ago, we had a bunch of delinquent parents teach them it's okay to smoke pot and have free love and everything else. And now here they are running the country. That's right. The compromise of one age becomes the life of the next one. Amen. That was free. Politics, because that's the thing. Not only politics, but when it gets into a church, it just makes me want to throw up. People get mad at me, but I don't have no time for that. Preachers say, well, you know, you got to kind of play this and that and do this and that. Make sure you keep this pulpit. And that. Oh, shut up. You're going. Amen. I'm telling you right now, and them brothers, don't come preach here because I don't believe in that. Because if that's in their lives, then that if money's the root of all, the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people think the rich young ruler made a bad decision. You sell out a lot more with what we got. He had a whole bunch more money than any of us have ever seen.
Sure.
He actually had a temptation. Some people do it just to keep $20 coming in. Yeah. Well, I can't make it to church. It costs too much for gas. Well, you made it to work.
Right.
You made it to a birthday party.
Right.
You made it to some sport event.
Yeah.
You made it for some hobby of yours that you don't need to be doing anyways. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. And then he blesses you, and then you use it for the world. I wonder why he ain't bless you no more.
Amen.
This is all free. Politics, voting in and voting out, saying this, that, or the other. And the Holy Spirit has no more right away in the church than nothing. Why? Why does he know? Listen to the rest of this. No prayer meetings.
Sure.
No more agonizing with God to fulfill his word. Going to say that here, brother, sister. It's a shame that too many of us in the message this last month was our first prayer meeting you ever been to. I mean, not to say, you know, anybody else, but it's just you think we somewhere along the road that would have happened somewhere. It just shows we've got away from it. No more agonizing with God to fulfill his word, because see, we think that faith means, oh, I just sit here and know God's going to fulfill it. All right, praise the Lord. I'm so predestinated, ain't got to worry about it no more. It's not what he's saying. People that say, Lord, you promised it. You promised it, and we believe it. We believe it enough that we're going to do actions towards it. Say, I don't care if that brother's sick. We're going to keep believing. Say, come on, brother, let me pick you up. Don't give the devil no credit. That's right. You say you're sick and say, bless God, I'm healed. Cough it all up. That's all right. Say, bless God, I'm healed. We need people that agonize in the spirit. Say, God, my church, my family, whatever, it's backslid. I don't understand why, but your word promised that we wouldn't be like this, that we'd be on fire for you, that we'd be overcomers. And I'm agonizing in your word. Where? On my knees. Too many times we go to a bunch of politics and a bunch of name saying and all this thing that's going to help anything. It don't help nothing. Get on your knees. You can talk about me all that you please. I'll talk about you on my knees.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No more prayer meetings. No more agonizing with God to fulfill his word. No more believing that the word is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. They just vulturized down, got a denomination, put their name on the book, and got lazy and soft.
Yeah,
sure. And sits back there gloating on some kind of a debt of a carrion. Which is why there ain't no miracles, you know. I don't really love God. I mean, but I'm at church. You say, well, that's good enough. You know, I paid my tithes. I mean, I don't really have to say amen. I'll let the other fanatic guy do that. And I'll just sit back. There's people, they won't say that, but that's how they act.
That's right.
You know, the revival, you know, I believe in God's, yeah, but... You know, and then criticize everyone that acting like they got it. You're feeding on a bunch of dead and carrying. If you get a group of people that actually just focused on Jesus, you ain't got to worry about all that. Because they recognize, I don't really care what you think. I don't even care what I think. I'm thinking about what he thinks. Hey, man, I ain't here to feed on dead and carrying, get all lazy and soft on God. I'm here to be on fire for God. Hey, man. And that's supposed to be at least a hawk that's similar to Brother Eagle, the prophet that brought the true word and manifested. Relies on half-rotten man-made theology. Where does he get it at? In some man-made Sunday school program sheet.
Sure.
Some educator killed for him back in some seminary. Tell him that. The days of miracles is past. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this is nonsense. You mean to tell me that an eagle would eat that? He couldn't do it. No, sir. Neither will a Christian eat on that debt of carrying from old denominational doctrines and things. They want the Word of God. Fresh, the promise of the hour. God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised other things in the days of others. But now he's promised us a full square meal. The full seven-course menu for all the seven seals are open. And everything is ready for the Word of God to those who can receive. Brother, sister, the Bible told us all the way back in the days of Paul, the whole world is groaning. and travailing for one thing to happen. And it ain't for Obama to get out of office. It's for the sons of God to recognize who they are and to be manifested sons of God. Adam walking on the earth again with his dominion. And that's not just the millennium. That's now. Glory to God. God opened up those seals. God gave us the word. And he gave it to... We could read the rest of Revelations 10. But you understand, the angels said in the days of the voice, something when he began to sound, the mystery of God would be finished.
Amen.
And then John looked at the mighty angel. And the angel said, eat the book. And John, like most of us, said, give it to me. Well, if God promised it, it'd be right here. You know, God promised revival, it just happened, you know. And you ain't praying, you ain't reading your Bible. Well, why ain't it happening? What did the angel say? Take it. It's here. Take it. It's in your shelf. Read it. It's on your players. Play it. Don't just play its background music. Lick it. Take the preeminence. Let everything else go away. How many times, we think we all could raise our hands, sometimes God's come through a quote, and you know, man, that was just right now for me, right here. Why? It's the voice of God. Do that right here with the Bible. Oh, yes, he will. You say, oh, I'm just reading every day, I'm hearing Ezekiel, you know, and it's, those people are as boring as
come on.
Well, you ain't going to get revelation that way. Pave the way with faith, saying, Lord, you promised. This is your word. I'm not feeding on a doctrine. I'm feeding on the bloody word of the Son of Man, made flesh again in this day. I'm not a stuck vulture down here on the ground eating a bunch of pecking around in a bunch of garbage cans. Some of us trying to do that, trying to find some movie to watch. Brother, why are you trying to find a wrap sandwich in a trash can when we got a full course meal of things that you could love? Amen. That's right. If you're going to watch something, why don't you watch something about the Word? That's right. If you're going to talk to your kids about a story, why not something about in the Word? And why don't you get a testimony so you can tell them a story about what's happened in your life? Glory to God that God saved you. That God. How can our kids be atheists? I don't understand it. If we're living witnesses of God, they won't serve the Lord for a time. But there's no way they should be able to be an atheist. God should be witnessing out of your life. They should know. I know there's a God. Maybe I'm not serving Him, but I know where I should be. And if our kids don't know that, don't blame them for being a bunch of hooligans. Blame yourself. You say, well, it's too late now. I've already done. They're already grown up. They're everything else. Lift your hands and say, Lord, you knew what happened. You know my heart now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But Lord, I'm doing the best I know how to do today.
Amen.
Do it with all your heart. You watch God come on the scene. That's right. We didn't know that Delilah was setting up Samson to be the greatest victory he ever had. But it happened that way. When he was sitting there being all lukewarm, he'd kill a few here or there, have a good meeting here and there. But when he got down to business so backslid he knew God wasn't nowhere around, all of a sudden the real Samson came out. When he lost all of himself and forgot about who he was and only thought about what the seal said about him. Seven locks. All seven opened up to him. He says, wait a minute, what am I doing here? The word said, I'd deliver Israel. And it was still in his heart, but he didn't know what to do. So he told a young boy, put my hands on the pillars. Put it on everything I've created in my life. Put it on my backslidden nature. Put it on my where I've let things in my house as a father. We do it. Don't put your hands on it. Don't ignore it. Put your hands on it and say, Lord, once more. You've delivered me from smoking. You deliver me from drugs. You deliver me from a life of sin. But now the Satan's creeped in. The little fox has gotten my house. Lord, once more, let that revelation strike me in faith to push this back out of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't look for another way. I'm telling you, it ain't there. If you're looking for a way to overcome that's outside this message, you won't find it. Nope, you'll be stuck right back in. And there's plenty of nominal people who are frustrated about that. They're trying to live it. And they think, where is it? Why can't we make it happen? Not recognizing that God told us in the Word how He sent it. And if you won't believe it the way God said, you don't get the results. Jesus said, they came and asked Him. I'm closing on this. A little bit over an hour today. But He came and asked Him, is how can we do the works of God? It's a mighty fine question to ask the Savior. He said, believe on Him whom He sent. Why? Because if you'll apply that, then it don't matter what age you came from. You're always listening to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. G today, Dad. Sing a chorus here. Change the order of the service. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide your arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's sing that. It's G. You're going to have to help me.
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide
yourself. Say, Lord, that was me.
Oh, come in.
Sister, where do you find yourself? You know the Lord spoke to you today. Now don't just say, Lord, I believe it, and never really apply it to your life. You find yourself, you don't really know the Lord. You don't really know what this is all about. You committed. You promised to. You open up the Word for you to see. You find yourself there, would you raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I believe it. I believe it. Lord, I believe it enough to raise my hand and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Be sincere now. Don't worry about anything else but Him. Say, Lord, I want to know. I want to understand who You are and who I am. I mean, in my head, I know I believe it. It's true. Lord, pour a revelation on me. The devil can't talk me out. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God sees your hands. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Put yourself right in front of Him. You got to have a heart of perfect faith. You got to find yourself on the book. Hallelujah. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost, was to show you you're there. Hallelujah. You just want a fresh experience from the Lord. Would you raise that need to the Lord now? Say, Father, just quicken me one more time. Just like Samson, one more time. Lord, I love you with all that's in me. I'm tired of watching the devil get preeminence. I'm tired of watching my family. We're going the wrong direction, Lord. I can't fix the ship. Only you can. We've seen you do it before, Lord, but once more, come on the scene. Your hands all over. God bless you. God bless you. Take any need now before Him. That's why we raise it. You're raising your hand to surrender it to Him and say, Lord, I give it back to you. I send it to the waters. I know it'll return because you promised it. Hallelujah. Pray with all your heart. You go ahead and enter in. Enter into your prayer. Talk to the Lord. That'll show whether you're really in that Shekinah glory by yourself. You won't care if anybody's got anything to say or anybody sees you or hears you. And just to let you know, there ain't nobody looking around right now. I so appreciate this church, how they respect this. When God's dealing with you, it's just between you and Him. Amen. Amen. At the end of the day, you got to go in there, brother, sister. We can fake it in church. We can fake it in our families. But at the end of the day, we lay our heads in our beds and we have to realize, are we right with God or not? It's not time to be going back and forth and up and down. It's time to know, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming. Thank you for revealing to me who I am. And that the blood, you sure, I've done things wrong today, Lord, but you know I didn't mean to. You know I did things wrong 20 years ago, but Lord, I believe the blood's there for me. I'm free today. God bless you, brother, sister. That's a powerful thing to do, what you did. The world will tell you it's just a waste of time. But Revelation says that's the difference between life and death. That's the difference between being cold, starchy, and dead, and back into life again in the love of the Lord. God bless you. Is there anyone just wants the Holy Ghost? Say, Lord, I just want it. I want it all in me, all over me. Hallelujah. I want all in me, God. Oh, that's Him. That's the Lord right there. That's who you're looking for. Just open your heart. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming my life. Thank you for being more real than just an emotion. You're just the real living God. Thank you for loving me, Lord, so I could even love you back. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Let's just pray to Him. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for coming here today. We thank you for speaking to your people, Lord, me not knowing what to say, what direction to go. I've watched you come, Lord, and feed every one of these children the word that they had need of today. And Lord, may the revelation strike every heart that they're the children of God, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost would strike everyone, and all the kingdoms of the devil be defeated.
Praise God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I defy you. Let these people go for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now raise up in faith. Raise up from a backslid life. Raise up from sin and shame. Raise up from doubt. Raise up from sickness. Glory. Glory. That's how you do it. You believe it. Say, that was me, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise glory. God. Oh, loosen up, church. Don't worry about no one else. We came here for this purpose, to worship the Creator.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise
it's a house of worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lose your form, lose your religion, and love on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you with all my heart, Lord. Thank you for deliverance, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for revelation. Oh, praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for a sure word of prophecy. Thank you, Lord. Somewhere we can put our feet down. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. Praise His name. He's so defeated. Thank you, Lord. Do you feel the victory in your soul? Don't let Him hide in your life. Let Him come out by the light of the gospel. And there is a river. Believe what you're saying. That flows. It's in you, brother. It's in you, sis. I was specific to you, brother, sis. You know who you are. Thank you, Lord. Eyes open for that one. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Thank you, Lord. That frees the soul. It's that fountain. It's Jesus. He lives in your soul. Oh, come to these waters. Yes, Lord.
Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take a moment to worship Him your own way. Lord Jesus, I love You with all my heart. I praise Your holy name.
I love You with all my heart.
Thank You for being here amongst us, Lord.
You mean everything.
The healing, the
sick,
and restoring us, Lord.
Glory to Thy precious name.
Lord, let me never doubt You. Let me just always believe You and love You, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord, forgive us for our sins.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Let's come all the way on the way back. Lord,
forgive us, Lord Jesus, for not pressing
and pushing. Stay on the truth.
Giving it our all.
Thank You,
Father,
Lord.
In this
I love
end time.
You, Jesus.
Father, forgive us, Lord.
Praise Your name,
Jesus. I praise You.
Praise
You,
Lord. Lord, hallelujah.
Oh, God, let us strive to maintain, to attain, Lord Jesus, that
glory.
Goal.
Glory,
Lord
glory.
Jesus, that crown of righteousness. Oh, Father.
Hallelujah. Worship in the Spirit
praise
and truth.
Praise You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
Jesus.
Your name, Jesus.
Blessed be Your
name. Love You with all my heart, Lord.
Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord Jesus.
Are you enjoying His presence this
I
afternoon?
Love You, Jesus. Praise
He doesn't just come anywhere. He comes where He's invited.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He comes to those that want Him to come.
Praise God.
Don't you appreciate Him today? Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus.
Praise God.
Jesus breaks. Things of this world, all the pleasures down here, fly above it all.
Just praise.
Go free, Johnny Crow.
Every fetter, Jesus breaks. Every fetter, Jesus breaks.
God bless our sins. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Yeah.
Jesus breaks.
Oh, what a power. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Father.
Jesus breaks. Every fetter, Lord, He said. sets me free.
Do you believe you're free today? Can we worship the Lord and praise His name? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. How many just loves the Lord Jesus? Oh, hear His voice. Don't harden your hearts. He's spoken to us today. I say that because I know firsthand, brother, sister, this is the Lord today. Why though? Because He loves us. He's tired of seeing us caged up with some idea or some thought. And when right there in the Word is our names.
Amen.
Ought to never be afraid of the devil.
Sure.
Ought to never be afraid of anything in life. Anytime the devil tries, look, he'll meet you right out that door, slap it right back in your face. Say, look, your name's not in this book. Leave me alone.
Mine is. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise His name. Don't give the devil the victory. He's just trying to take yours because he don't have any.
Amen.
Glory to God. He knows where he's going.
Amen.
Under my feet. Amen. That's right. Well, God bless each one. We've got a baptismal today. Sister Suzanne wants to dedicate her heart to the Lord. I believe she's saved and got the Holy Ghost. But just once, I so appreciate her. Almost there, sis. This will be 3 for 4. Baptized Brother Ronnie and Brother Austin. Brother Justin, he's sick. So the Lord knows. Whenever he feels led, that's fine. But, you know, I don't believe in pressuring children. But I will say this. If they say something, we're doing it. That's right. I don't care. What's his name down south? Tim Pruitt. Brother Tim Pruitt. I believe he was baptized 5 or 6 years old. Said he got the Holy Ghost. He meant business. And he's been serving the Lord ever since.
Sure.
You wonder why he called him to be a pastor. I think it was 16, 17, something. Because he's been serving the Lord as long as I have. Amen. God knows what he's doing. So I appreciate our sister wanting to just rededicate her life to the Lord and say, I identify with this truth.
Amen.
That's really what I believe she wanted to do. And I know she loves the Lord. And I'll say this in front of everybody. Anytime I've got discouraged, the Lord's done a few things. But one thing He likes to do is say, but remember the Ochoas.
Amen.
Remember what God's done for them? I said, yeah, that's right. I guess you can still use me now. You might not think of it. Preachers go, you know, there's a time, Brother Branham, I just read a quote not too long ago. He's sitting on his porch wondering if he was even called. Sitting there, like happens to all of us, because you know we get looking at our mirror too long. But God will come by and put you right back on His. But what about this?
Amen.
What about that car wreck? Why are you still here? What about that? Hallelujah. God bless. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna let Sister Suzanne be dismissed for that. The water might look a little murky, but Dad's told me it's just the sediments from the old water tank we got here. So it's not really dirty. It's just got sediments in it. Don't anybody think that we were just like, well, just leave it in there. But just the way the water came out, it's, you know, this used to be, if you didn't know, this is a beauty parlor. There's plumbing underneath these from when they used to have a, you know, do your hair and stuff. And it's where the Lord put us. So I think we've done all right. I think it looks okay. Really, it's just 4 walls, though, anyways. You're the what's the beauty of this place. That's right. When I have preachers come through, they don't talk about the walls. They don't talk about, they talk about the people. And I say this to encourage you one more time, as a sister's getting ready, so I say a little bit. Everybody, Brother Stewart said it this way. He says, man, if there's anybody who needs to learn how to preach, they need to come to your church. Help some preach. You know, another man, he said, mercy. He said, there's not a lot of them, but they sure pull hard. That was Brother Colin. That's who that was.
Yeah,
praise
yeah.
the Lord. But, God bless you. Let's try that. I want something kind of peppy here. If you got a good G song for me. Let's sing this. I'll let you be dismissed for baptismal service. So we praise the Lord. God bless you, saints.
Some glad morning.